Please be seated. And as you're seated, I invite you this morning to open to Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. Parents, Becky has created a little folder for families and especially for children. And if this helps you adults to stay awake, that might be helpful as well. So this is called Sermon Bingo. So what Becky has done is she's gone through not only the text, but hopefully what the text is about, to find keywords that children can listen and cross off as they hear it. But don't yell bingo right in the middle of my sermon. That might be, you can yell amen, that would be okay. But if parents, you want to help your kids just to keep focused on what is being said, they can use the sermon bingo, and you can look for this every week, and Becky's done a great job with that. Please also note I forgot to mention that our Christian sympathies go to Mary and Madeline at the loss of Mary's mother, who passed away yesterday, and Madeline's grandmother, and just pray for her and for their family as they endure this loss, and just for family relationships and that as well. Let me just pray for Mary and Madeline this morning as we begin. Father, we do pray for Mary and Madeline, so grateful and thankful for the glorious work you've done in their lives, the ways in which we've just seen her, as Doug mentioned, just transported and growing in grace and truth. And Father, thank you that as she takes the light of the gospel into her family in this time of sorrow, that you would grant her your grace and peace, and that you would bring joy even in the midst of sorrow and mourning, that she would know the joy of the Lord, that the Lord is with her, that he never leaves her or forsakes her, and help her to trust and find rest in you. And Madeline as well. Pray that you do all of that for us as we seek to walk into areas of our life this morning that may be difficult and often dark and often places of great shame. And help us to find the joy of the Lord touching us and healing us and changing us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dan Allender, in his book, The Wounded Heart, says that shame is the silent killer of the soul. Shame is the silent killer of the soul. Sin, we often talk about, separates us from God. But I would suggest to you, as we, in Elder and Deacon training this morning, that shame is what keeps us from growing in the Lord. Now, there are a couple of sources of shame. And borrow some of this from Allender's book. But one is good shame. That there's actually a place where we can have good shame. Now, you might ask, what is good about shame? Shame that causes us to understand our sin, that comes to us because we've sinned against the living God. That's actually conviction. That's a good shame. Why is that a good shame? Because there's a place where we can go to find relief for that. We go to the cross, and Jesus promises that when we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, including that appropriate shame from all unrighteousness. We're free from the bondage of guilt and shame at the cross. But then there's a bad shame, what I would call an inappropriate shame, if you would. And the source of that kind of shame is a shame that is not coming from our own actions. But often, that shame has been given to us. It's been given to us actually by the sins of others. Sins that others have done against us. And the source of that can be brokenness. It can often come from living in a broken world where Sickness and deformity in our flesh can bring about a sense of shame. And then it's exemplified as people make fun of that. So my friend Roberto in campus ministry, who had just straw-like hair that was constantly seemed to be greasy, he couldn't get it under control, and he had an extreme issue with acne. And I asked him, I said, "What's wrong?" And he wrote a little note, and it said, "I am hideous. I'm hideous." He said, "I'm hideous, but I'm also invisible. People just look past me because they can't look at me." We talked about that and wrestled with his shame in an area of life that is simply a part of brokenness. But then shame is often given to us by the abuse of others that is placed upon us. That might be minimal to certain degrees and extreme to other degrees, but it's verbal or emotional or sexual or physical abuse. Like the young college student at a conference that I was directing who told her small group leader, "What do I do with the reality that my mom's boyfriend sexually abused me while she watched? What do I do with that reality that shaped her soul from that moment on and for the rest of her life?" Or the young college student whose father called her names that I can't even mention from the pulpit. All of these leave marks, pock marks, if you would, on our soul. And they hinder us from growing in the grace and mercy and the joy and the fullness of God. And this morning, as we come and look at this passage, I invite you to come with your sores, your shame, your pockmarks that we so desperately try to hide, and throw yourself on the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 through 45. "And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, and said to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I will be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anybody, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for proof of them, or to them.' But he went out and began to talk freely about it and spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town. Was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter." You know, there's times when we enter the scriptures, and especially the gospels, that I invite you to read the gospels in order to find yourself, or to find friends who actually speak of the reality that inwardly you know might be you, or the way that you view yourself, and begin to see how Jesus interacts with that person and invites you into that same reality. Well, here's this leper. And as we walk through this, realize that what was the problem with the leper? Well, he had leprosy, of course. And Jesus was going to heal him, of course. But leprosy was a surface problem, literally and figuratively. Leprosy was this horrible skin disease that was considered to be highly contagious. It was the kind of disease that your skin would go white. In my devotions the other day, God tells Moses to put his hand in his cloak, and as he brings it out, he says that it was white with leprosy, that these boils form on your skin, and the skin is eaten away. And if you go to a leper colony in places like India, where it's still prevalent, often the joints and your fingers and your toes and your thumbs will all fall off because they just eat away at your skin. Or the tip of your nose, because of the cartilage, will be eaten away and people look hideous. In that reality, this is what this man was dealing with. He had a physical ailment. But that was only the surface problem. This man had a social reality as well. He was a pariah to all who met him. Here was a man who entered the town and the streets would part for him. But not because he was famous, not because he was somebody who was great and mighty. They parted for him because he himself had to yell to everybody else, "Unclean!" And when they saw him enter, they would part, because people would even say that if his shadow fell on a cup, that you would have to throw away that cup because it was made unclean by his shadow. This man was known in society by the reality of his disease. But not only did he have a physical problem and a social problem, but he had a spiritual problem. This man had been cast out of the temple. The high priest would have judged him to be a leper, and they would have said that you are no longer allowed to enter the temple because you are unclean in accordance with the law of Moses. And in that light, many of them would have thought of him as having been a person who God had turned his back on. This man couldn't worship. This man couldn't go home. He had to live outside of the city in a leper colony. And the whole reality of his life was governed by his disease. Now, you may not have the disease of leprosy, but some of you, if you look deep down inside, recognize yourself in the same emotional realities that this man finds himself in. There are some of you who come to church, but you don't feel comfortable, because the shame in your heart and in your life that you've lived with all of your life, you're quite sure everybody else can smell it or can see it. And if they only knew about it, they wouldn't really sit by you. And you wonder, do I belong anywhere? But notice the faith of this man. He comes and we see his own understanding of himself and Jesus' authority by how he approaches Jesus. First, notice his posture. He falls on his knees, and the text tells us that he implored, or he begged Jesus on his knees. But then notice the statement that he says, and you understand a lot about how this person feels about himself and how many in our society feel about themselves. Notice what he says. "If you will, you can make me clean." Now, in there is a hidden question, but it's not really a question. It's actually a statement. But notice what he says. He says, "If you will, you can make me clean." Now, what did he understand about Jesus? He understood that Jesus could heal anybody he wanted. His question was not about Jesus' ability. And as a wonderful Orthodox Christian, neither is yours. Your doctrine's fine. Jesus can do whatever he wants. Jesus can heal whoever he wants. I know that reality. Why? Because the Bible tells me so. And here is a man who probably had heard about this rabbi who was performing miracles, and he comes to him. His question is not about the ability of Jesus. What's his question about in the midst of the statement? I know your power, Jesus. I want to see your heart. Are you willing? See, many of us who are covered with shame, we know Jesus can. Because we see it. We see him doing miracles in other people's lives. The question isn't about ability. The question is about willingness. Are you willing? Not only to interact with me, but to heal me. And sometimes that's the question on our heart. Sometimes those of us who struggle with shame actually keep us from the fullness of understanding the heart of Jesus because we're so satisfied with sitting in the back. Well, I'm just good in getting into heaven. I don't really deserve I'm not going to ask for anything else. Because rejection comes far too easily, and I don't want to be rejected again. But this man comes in faith. And he throws himself at the mercy of Jesus because he doesn't have anywhere else to go. And he says, I know you can. But the bigger question is, will you? And then here comes the gospel. Verses 41 and 42 are probably the fullness of the gospel in two small verses that show us the heart of God in Christ Jesus towards the likes of this man and you and I. Jesus gives him the answer to his underlying question, are you willing? And we see this in two ways in Jesus' response. First of all, notice this. We see it in the words of Jesus. I will. I'm going to answer your question directly. Yes, I am willing. Be clean. But second, we see the gospel. And Mark so wonderfully helps us to see the gospel in the wonderful expression of Jesus that comes before he said this. And that's where it becomes the gospel truth. He tells us that Jesus was filled with pity or compassion. And then he reached out and he touched the man. This was no congratulatory clap on the back after he'd been healed and was all clean. This was no, hey, I hope you get along well with your life. No, this was placing his hand on his white, pussy flesh. And that came before the I will. There are a few questions that I'm going to ask when I get to heaven, and one's of this guy. How long did it take you to figure out that you were physically healed because you were so astonished that Jesus would touch you where? In your leprosy. See, the gospel should astonish us. The gospel is unbelievable. Really, Pastor, are you telling me this morning that that's where Jesus wants to come? I don't believe it. Oh, I believe it for others. Let me not say I don't believe it because that would be wrong as a Christian. Oh, I believe it. But it's good for Doug. And it's good for Eileen, but, well, let's just leave it there. But the gospel is astonishing. Because it comes to us and it wakes our eyes in ways that only Jesus could. The question we need to ask is, why did Jesus need to touch the man? We know from other gospel accounts that Jesus didn't even need to be present. He told the centurion who came and said, hey, you have authority, just tell my servant to be healed from where you're at and he'll be healed. And Jesus said, wow, I haven't seen such faith even in Israel. And he says, go, your servant is well. The man walked back home and his servant was well. No touch, no presence was necessary. He did heal by touching others. There are also people who touched him. The woman with the issue of bleeding. And then sometimes he just had to speak the word, like the paralytic, take up your mat and walk. So why touch now? He could have done it without touching. Well, the answer comes from realizing that Jesus touched him because he recognized that this man needed more healing than just physical. This man needed social healing. This man needed spiritual healing. This man's heart needed to be healed as much as his flesh. And Jesus takes the gospel right to the heart, as he wants to do with each and every one of us. See, the reality is, you know places where when you go there in the dark, you quiver still with shame. And it's not just things that you did, which might be true as well, but there are often things that were said and done, ways that people acted towards you, that to this day bind you from the fullness of experiencing the gospel in life. Well, this leper invites us to go back into the dark and to realize that in that darkness, Jesus has been waiting all along. And he has been waiting for you to realize that he is not only able, but he is willing. And that the healing comes not just from the taking away of the exterior reality, but by the presence of Almighty God entering the soul. Here is a man who had never been touched by his mother or father or siblings from the day that he had contracted leprosy. And now the Lord Jesus is touching his brokenness. Here is a man who only knew the scorn of others, and the Lord's compassion and full attention is upon him. Here is a man who had been kicked out of the house of God, and everybody had said, God has rejected you. And here is the Son of God come to him and touching him. See, the reality is Jesus never gets our uncleanliness, but we get his cleanliness in his touch. But where does the uncleanliness go to? Actually, Jesus does get that too, doesn't he? Because it's taken at the cross. That on the cross, not only was our sin taken care of, but also our shame was taken care of as well. See, we looked a few weeks ago at the cross in light of our sin, but often we fail to see the cross in light of our shame. that was present there as well, and everything that has happened to you and the words that were said and the things that have shaped your heart that bind you from keeping you from the fullness of God are taken by Jesus as well. And that is an experiential reality. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the sin, we might become the righteousness of God. Therefore, the shame that you and I experienced was the shame that he experienced that day when he was mocked, when he was beaten, when he was hurt. Just like you were mocked, and just like you were beaten, and just like you were hurt. Maybe the question this morning for us as we end is not whether Jesus is able and willing, but whether you're willing to step out in faith and thrust yourself upon the grace of God and to know in that moment the fullness of that grace as Jesus encounters you in the midst of that brokenness and makes you whole. Let's pray. Father, as Lou prayed earlier, and as we've even sung, there are those here who actually are too afraid to come out of their darkness and sin and shame. And though an appropriate, a wonderful hymn, the reality is that you are already there. That you are present there and that you're not ashamed to call us brother or sister. Father, we recognize that many are the things that only we know that Satan uses to kill in us faith, hope, and love. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Father, set us free. Though we may be saved, save us now once again from the power of sin and shame in our life that keeps us from knowing the fullness, the glory of the gospel in the face of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.